turn the lights on.
Good morning, everyone. How are you today? Better in here than outside, huh? Wow. We're going to start today with our call to worship. We're going to start with page 818, and I'd like for you to stand, please. 818. Clear in the back. It's Father, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day you give us. Lord, I know it's cold, but there's beautiful sunshine coming through the windows. The snow on the ground, Lord, how it washes away the death, Lord, and then comes back again in spring, Lord, if you tarry. Thank you, Lord, for the people that showed up today, for getting us here safely, for the good week we had, Lord. Thank you for this great nation we live in, Lord. We know its problems, but Lord, where else on earth would we go today? Thank you, Lord, for all that you provide for us, the great God that you are. I pray today, Lord, that you would have your way with our service. If you grant us the ability to listen, Lord, today to what you have for us, be with our pastor, Lord, as he goes through with you. Help him, Lord. Guide him, direct him, make him strong. And, Lord, what you have for us today, that it might speak to someone today, that they might make a decision for you today, Lord, before they leave this building. Thank you for this time today, Lord. Be with us all. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see, our next song, page 580, please. 580. Don't forget, tonight we have our evening service at 6 o'clock. We have a deacon meeting today also at 5 o'clock before that. And our drama team, it meets Monday at 6 o'clock. Personal evangelism at 6 on January the 25th. Iowa Men's Advanced Retreat is going to meet on the 29th. It's a prayer seminar from 9 to 2. And let pastor know by tomorrow.
Today.
Who will attend tonight, if you could, please. And the cost is $15 per person. This will be at Walnut Park Church. I think the $15 is to provide for two meals, correct?
And just some costs.
Some costs. Very good, very good. We have a business meeting that we're going to have on the 30th to discuss our Wednesdays. And then fellowship is January 30th. If you want to, we're going to try to get back on track with that. Let somebody know. The team involved there is Autumn, Kathy, and Sharon. Primary voting ballots will be going out for our annual business meeting. On January 30th, they will need to be returned by the 16th. The thought for the week by our pastor. Most of the news we need to know is suppressed by what others want us to know. Oh, wow. If you have an offering, we'd ask that you put it in a plate in the back. And I'm going to pray now for that. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for just being with us, Lord. getting us here today, the opportunity to fellowship with each other, Lord, especially in our church family being together here today. Thank you for this time so much, Lord. We have now a chance, Lord, to just give a small portion back to you. I just pray, Lord, you be with the gift and the giver as we do so. Lord, help us to remember that you don't want our money, Lord. You want our souls and our lives, Lord. But this is just a way that we can return some of that love back to you. Thank you, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ladies. Autumn's going to sing for us now. Thank you.
Good morning. This song that I'm going to present to the Lord and for you all today really claims the promises that come in heaven for those who know Christ as their Savior. And this song I first heard about when the girls and I were reading through the Laura Ingalls Wilder series. And I think it was toward the end of the long winter when Laura's mom, Caroline, said, let's sing a song. And she chose On Jordan's Stormy Banks, I Stand. And that was her favorite hymn. And anyone who's read those books knows that, like many people in those days, they had a hard life. And Laura's mom, though, always was a hopeful person. And she knew that the trials of life just made the future in heaven seems so much better and brighter. And I think the world we're in today can be very dark and not the most exciting place to be right now. But it's amazing because we get to watch things unfold. And Jesus told us in Matthew, he said, see that you're not troubled, for the end has not yet come. And these things have to come to pass. So as we live through this amazing time to be a believer, let's look for the promise. And I am bound for the promised land because Jesus redeemed me, because I could never be good enough on my own to get there. And I was born of Adam's sinful flesh, so I had to have redemption. And so any of you, if you're not bound there today, if you don't know for sure that when you die, where you will be, don't wait. Because that day will come, and you'll have to stand before God. And you will either be accepted because of Jesus' blood and righteousness, or rejected. So come with me to the promised land. Make today be your day of salvation. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land, where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. When shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in His bosom rest? I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land.
Thank you, Autumn. Doug's going to come and read for us just a little bit. Thanks, Doug.
Taken from Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 12. A little historical background. This is the 400-year gap between the Old and New Testament. And in Israel's history, this is where Nehemiah led the effort to rebuild the walls. And before that, Ezra had helped to rebuild the temple and led that effort. But the people were reluctant. They had also become entrenched in the Persian society at the time. They saw their neighbors prosper and really a fertile ground in that area. So they were able to graze crops and have a lot of trade. So Nehemiah had to really pry them out of that society that they were in there because they had been so successful in their careers at that point. So he had to get their attention to rebuild what God wanted them to do, rebuild the walls of their home city, capital, Jerusalem. So we'll start in verse 6 through 12. And here's the account. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts, that ye said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet as ye have robbed me, but ye say, how have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in mine house, and try me now. Herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven, and pour out for you a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast its fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Thank you. Pastor?
Thank you, Doug. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. We have a powerful resource in our hands today, and that being the revealed written word of God. I welcome you this morning to Fruitland Baptist Church as soon as I get straightened up here. There we go. You know I'm somewhat of a straight-laced person, in case you haven't discovered that yet. But it is indeed a pleasure to be with you folks today. I am really excited about the good number of folks I see out this morning. And I trust that your winter is passing quickly, and that you're blessed in God's creative handiwork and his reminder to us in the cold and the snow and all the different events of his providential care for this world. Especially glad today if there'd be anyone that's visiting with us. We know that there are many needs in the plight of man and even in our congregation and in our community. But let me assure us today, God is sufficient to meet every one of those needs and much more. Well, we're going to work on a refrigerator message this morning, but before I go to prayer, I did have a little trivia for you, too. I choose two of the hymns in all of our services. I chose He Leadeth Me, and I did get a little teary-eyed at that. I hope today, along with what Autumn has brought to us, that Jesus is your shepherd and you're one of his lambs today. He wants you in his arms. But I had a couple of trivia questions. What in that song, what's the word bowers mean? Eden's bowers bloom. Bowers is where we get the modern day definition or translation for flowers. I want to remind us this morning what God has prepared to us when he gives us the new heavens and the new earth, the recreated earth, purified. We're going to go back to the days of the Garden of Eden. As beautiful as flowers are today on a cold winter day, won't that be wonderful to bask in the Garden of Eden once again in that kind of a state? And then there was one other little thing that grabbed me there that fit right in with Autumn. She didn't know what I had chosen. Well, yes, you did know, but I don't think you coordinated it. What's the big deal about the Jordan River? Is there a Jordan River? Well, there is. It's more like a creek, what we would call some of you that are real professionals, a creek. But a creek is what I call it over there in Israel. But the interesting thing about that, you know, the Israelites faced a crossing of the Jordan under who? Joshua. Moses was off the scene, and Joshua was the one to lead Israel into the promised land. Remember, they fooled around for 40 years thinking about that, and that's where that wistful eye thing comes from in that tune. Wow, this is a massive undertaking. You can read about that. What a wonderful thing. God delivered them through the Jordan, but we will also face a figurative Jordan River in our life, and that's crossing into heaven. And you know what? Jesus Christ, if you have him in your life today, you've placed your faith and trust in him to have your sins forgiven and covered. That's how we'll cross the river. The great shepherd's going to carry us. And we need not fear going into the promised land, which is heaven. But until then, we've got work to do, right? Absolutely. We're here, and we're not here in a vacuum. We're here to produce and to bring glory to God. So let's join together today as we look into his word. Well, today, two other little quick housekeeping things. Lonnie mentioned them. Men, if you'd like to go up to the prayer seminar, it's from 9 to 2. Lonnie already told you that at Walnut Park. I need to know today because I need to at least reserve that. I want to encourage you to go. It is $15, but you get a nice lunch, but you also have some good feeding and response out of the word of God, some good speakers. I encourage you to go. In fact, I had struggled because there was a cancellation in my neck of the woods of things that I needed to be to in central Iowa due to the snow 2 weeks ago. But I'm going to let that responsibility go and sit in this seminar. I believe God led me to do that. And I invite you to come too. I'll be glad to have you with me up there. So let me know about that. And then also, Lonnie also mentioned, but in the back on the table, there are some proposals there about a tune-up here at Fruitland Baptist Church. How many of you think that we personally need a tune-up every once in a while? Tune-ups are things that aren't thought of much anymore unless you're like me, antiquated, and drive old stuff. Some of you old-timers in here remember, Lynn, will you verify this with me? How often did you have to change points, condensers, and plugs in the old vehicles? 4,000 to 8,000 miles, depending on the service. Now we run our cars, don't even think about any of that stuff. Isn't that interesting that kind of correlates with a lot of our lives and how we live? We need a tune-up. Anyway, take a look at those sheets. Don't be uninformed. Also, next Sunday, we'll go back to our normal routine as long as we're having our potluck afterward. I understand. I have concerns about that as well. But we will have a business meeting then in the afternoon with a devotional. Okay, so I wanted you to know, and that's to talk and maybe act on some of those tune-up items in that sheet. Don't neglect to look at that. Anything else? I see mostly smiles. Thank you, Jason. What is that in there? Is okay. And yes, I'm going to tell you straight about things. Probably all of you know it. I think that we still violate God's rules on gossip here at Fruitland. But Kim and I did not feel the greatest last Sunday, but we did have, I believe we had the bug here this week, the Omicron. By the way, that's the Greek word for the letter O. I've been thinking about that all week too. But anyway, God's seen fit to recover us, right, Kim? And I still have a little voice trouble, but I feel good. I'm ready to go. Refrigerator message today. I checked, I popped the Tupperware. It still smelled good. That's the good thing about God's Word. It'll keep, okay? And it'll still be refreshing. So this is part two of Guidelines for Giving. Remember when we started all this? There's been a lot of broken promises. The first week of December is when we originally began. Does everyone have a handout that's in your bulletins? I'm not going to go back only to just stress the first points. But if you have a question about that, come and see me. But not today. Well, if you have a question, what I'm trying to say nicely is I'm not going to shake hands today and so forth. And I love all of you. I really do. And I want to greet you. But I'm going to stay separate. Oh, that's our message for tonight. But I am going to keep my distance just as a precaution. But that's one of the things I always like is to greet everyone on Sundays and different times we meet. I enjoy that. I still think that it's important that we can see each other face to face and eye to eye, right? But we'll take a pass on that yet this week. So we're going to have prayer and we're going to begin here on this message about giving. Father, I just simply ask that you bless today our endeavors in your word. And may the Spirit take a leadership role, both in me as the speaker today, the one responsible to deliver the word, but also in the hearers. And I pray today and thank you, Lord, for a really nice outpouring today. And so glad to see people out interested in you. I just pray that you would use Fruitland Baptist Church as a mighty force in our locality here. We thank you, Lord, for the many blessings. I at least am not down about anything. I think you've been good as gold to all of us, Lord. And that was sure displayed when you came for us. God gave his best, his only unique son, Jesus. Jehovah saves to die for our sins and rise again to guarantee us new life. So I'm excited about that today. I trust folks here are as well. And I do pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here that's never come under the care of the Good Shepherd, this would be the day they'd realize we need your care. We don't need to worry about the Jordan that we cross, which is death. But for the believer, we know that it'll be into paradise with you in your presence for all eternity. So, Lord, help us today. This message on giving, the first point is simply this. You gave it all for us. And, Lord, this is not legalism. This is just what your word has to say. And helps us to have guidelines, Lord, to get our hearts right. We need those tune-ups, Lord, so desperately. Now I just pray you'll help this poor fool up here today preaching the word and that it will not return to you void. That's your promise. And we ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, folks, you notice on your outlines there's the first point that God is the giver of gifts as well as the originator and sustainer of all things good. We're accountable as caretakers of his blessings, and I'm not going to preach back through that. But let me just say this. He's number one. It all came from him. It's all his. We need to get our heads wrapped around that and understand that he is Almighty God and he is the giver extraordinaire. Amen? Who can outgive God? Can Warren? No. Bill? Elon, Pastor John, any of us here today? No, he's the one that is the center of all things and his goodness. And so I challenge us this morning, why should we not be givers as well? But don't we have trouble with that? We do because we're a fallen race, you see. Because it's hard for us to give away things that are important to us and that we consider to be valuable. But the Lord gave it all when he came to die on Calvary's cross for us. That's the perspective that I pray that God will help all of us to achieve in these days he gives us here on earth. It's all about him and not about me. Everything I do needs to bring him glory. If you're like me this morning, I've fallen short of that. Oh, the Bible speaks of that too, doesn't it? It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But today, my friends, if you'll receive Jesus into your life and you'll put your faith and trust in him, acknowledge that you're a sinner and be saved, let me tell you, we, again, can stop hiding Jesus from those around us because his shadow overtakes ours. And so that's the spirit I bring this message to. Are we preaching that? You know, a lot of churches preach on giving when there's a what? We don't ever have shortfalls here at Fruitland. Oh, some people are saying, well, it doesn't look like the board's all that. We don't have shortfalls. Even when we are short, we're not short because we serve a great God. Has anyone ever come to you at Fruitland Baptist Church and placed their arm around you and said, oh, what kind of income do you make this year? I happen to have these pledge cards in my pocket. And we need that to keep the pastor driving a fancy car. You know what? You've been good as gold to Kim and I here. You really have. We have nothing to complain about. It's good stuff, folks. And that's the good thing about Old Fruitland Baptist Church. We still have a few things right here. Amen? It's all about him. So I'm not going to come up here and sell you something today, but I'm going to preach God's word, and I know his spirit will lay on our hearts. This is the only thing I can say, is that as God prospers us, we can be a blessing to him. Okay? And we can do mighty things here at Fruitland Baptist Church. I don't think God's done with us either. Happy New Year. I've got some great things that I think God's going to, he's shown me that he'll do this year. Now forgive me, I have to cough once in a while. Let me give you choices today too, just like Grandma Wanda used to have on the daily menu. Two choices. You always had variety at Grandma Wanda's. Take it or leave it. Good choices. I always took it. It was good food. Do you want me to preach through this fast, or do you want to sit down and look into it deeply? Because there's going to be a part three if we do it the first way. I think we need to, don't you? What's that, Doug? I think we need to. Has everyone got their oxygen? All right, so there's the first point. Everything is God's. We went over that very clearly. We get to use it with discretion and instruction from God. If we'll listen, right? I've thought about that very much. I'm certain that I could get an agreement from everyone in here. How much have you squandered in your life? I've told you some of the things I've squandered mine on. Those are God's resources. The second point that the Bible raises, and we're going to begin toward the end of this morning. By the way, there could be some controversial things that I say this morning. You may not always agree with me, but I hope to bring it from the basis of the Word of God. But even if you don't agree, still love me, because I love you, and God loves us all. Here's the second point. Giving back to God in recognition of his benevolence was instituted in the early days after creation. This didn't just happen when the law was given at Mount Sinai, but it came in the Garden of Eden, and we examined that. And what does God want? You see it on your sheets. Does he want the leftovers? By the way, I said this message is a leftover, but it's really not. It's still fresh in the Lord. He wants what? He wants the first. Absolutely. Does he need it? No, he does not need it. But he wants to see that as a recognition of our hearts, that we have acknowledged him and placed him number one, just as I mentioned earlier. Well, today, we explored that from back in the days of Abraham, and we even went even further back to Genesis chapter 4. Let me tell you, when you get into Genesis 4, you're back there a ways, right? Two folks named Cain and Abel. You can read it for yourself in 4, 2 through 7, and how things went there. But God instituted the fact that he was number one in the garden and that he had a response that was required from man that he wanted to have to recognize him. Now, a couple little things on this, and then we'll get into the meat today. But many people have asked me these questions over the years. Can't giving be of multitudinous things? Can it be our time, our talents, possessions, so on and so forth? And my response to that is I think God looks at all those things. And I think he looks at everything in a pattern that it all fits together. He doesn't go off on tangents. But I do think we can all admit to us together here today that for most of us today, that revolves around compensation that we receive by the grace of God for labor that we produce. Is that pretty accurate? So while all those things are taken into account, or the reasoning thereof with them, I do believe that if we earn wages today, that God sees that as one of the mechanisms that we give back to Him. So therefore, that involves what? Well, yeah, I think that we, you know, if I were to give you a load of pumpkins for a job that you did, you probably wouldn't be all that pleased. Why? Because pumpkins would have been frozen already this time of the year. There's not a lot you can do with them when they're ruined. You can't store them very easily. You would have rather had what? The cash. By the way, there's an old saying, cash is king. But really, Jesus is king, really, isn't he? If we've got our perspective right. But anyway, yes, that's an answer. For most, it's going to be through the return of numeric chattel, or what we know as money, into the Lord's work, okay? Also, another question before we get started further. I've had some people say, do you give on the gross or the net? Well, I'll try to answer that today. If you're self-employed, okay, let's imagine that. Let's use Lynn Paris. You never mind when I pick on you. Alicia, good to see you and the kids here today. Nothing better. Lynn, if you're running a mechanic's garage and you do $1 million worth of business that year, now that's the gross, okay? You had people come in for repair jobs. Wouldn't that be something to do? That'd take a person to keep track of the finances even, yeah. How does that work? But at the end of the year, you only showed a profit of $30,000. Because the expenses were there, right? Off that million and so forth, all the cost. So that's my question. If you're in that type of environment, what do you choose to give if you choose to give a tithe or an offering, which we'll explore here in just a minute? No one's going to answer, are they? Well, if you only made $30,000, it's all the Lord's. But he's giving a benchmark here. And by the way, we learned that before we closed. Tithing is not mentioned in the New Testament church. It's overruled, but it's still a benchmark, okay? What would you give? Well, $30,000 is your income, right? Because even though you brought in $1 million in repairs, you had $970,000 in expenses. Okay? So that is one of the ways you can look at that if you're in that type of environment. Now, what if you're in an environment where you are paid a salary and you have no expenses other than the legitimate expenses that are deductible in our tax system today? Well, then, let's say that, you know, you earn $50,000 a year, but your net income is $40,000 after expenses. Just throwing out some figures. Well, your net income is how much? $40,000. So that's what you have received as benefit that year. You get my example. But with that all said, I want to tell you about a guy named Robert Gilmore Letourneau. Barb Salzberger knows that name. She even has a book, and I love that book, Mover of Men and Mountains. R.G. Letourneau went through a lot of things in his walk with God. But God led him to forget about this 10% thing. Barb, how much did R.G. give? 90. And that comes to a principle that we'll see if we get there today in Scripture. We can't outgive God. R.G. Letourneau knew that, but his heart was motivated to give as much as he could to the Lord. And God never disappointed him. He was in his 80s and still developing new earth-moving product. That's why Barb and I have a kindred spirit there. If you'd ever like to check out that book, talk to me. Someone did check it out and didn't bring it back. But it wasn't you, Barb, because we did something different on that. But we'll find another one. They're around. God can do a lot of things when he gets a hold of our hearts, folks. So don't get hung up on what I just talked about too much. Give to the best of your ability, knowing that He is worthy. He is worthy. Also, poverty. Having been in the farming business for a lot of years, I've thought about this too. Well, this year I had brackets around my income. Okay, you understand brackets. So does that mean when the plate's passed, I can take some back? No, the principle that you'll find in Scripture is, even in people's poverty, they gave. And God has, you know, I said God is the foundation of all mathematics. Autonom, remember when we had that last week in junior, senior high class? But let me tell you something, God knows multiplication. He also knows division, subtraction, and addition, and algebra, and trigonometry, and I shouldn't point fingers at people, but God can multiply very little. You think about that yourself, the illustrations in Scripture. God loves when people want to give to Him. Anyway, it's an interesting thing. By the way, that's why we don't do that kind of thing here at Fruitland, because giving is not a tax. But guess what? In the Old Testament, it was a tax directed by the Levites. Part of it was. Now get this, folks. We know that a tithe means 10%, a remnant, okay? But in the Old Testament, and I have a message somewhere in the refrigerator too, I calculated what the Levites requested. There were times that they wanted 38% of people's income. But God is not a taxer. Amen. Because God, again, wants us to have a voluntary love for Him in every motive that we do. So, there's times that it may not be given all His money, but what I call produce. I believe that God looks at everything. He even looks at our time and many other categories. And they all have value to Him if they are given as a gift to Him of our recognition and thanks. Now, another quick definition. Is this on your sheet? Because I don't have the main. I have it, but I'm not looking at it. Is there a difference between a tithe and an offering? We should always say tithes and offerings. A tithe is what is reasonably expected by God. But an offering is what? It's above and beyond. So an offering supersedes a tithe. That's an important principle as well that the Bible talks about. And also at the end, I won't get there today, but there's another type of giving, and it's sacrificial giving. Does anyone know what sacrificial giving is? And God's really been working on my heart about that very subject. It's about giving up of a prized possession or thing that you may possess or have control of for Him. A sacrifice, and saying, Lord, this is yours. I'm done messing with it. These are all things that God throws into the mix. Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, because tithing is not mentioned in Scripture. It is a principle in the New Testament church. It is mentioned in Scripture, but not regarding the New Testament church. But as I say, it's still a benchmark. So, here's a few of the things that incorporate into our giving back to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2 to begin this morning. And there's a certain word as we look at a word that I'd like you to catch out of this. Now, Paul's writing to the church at Corinth here, and he's talking about a future opportunity for giving a gift. And again, we know that God has given us the ultimate gift and all the gifts. And so this is not meant as a token of our recognition, but it should be a gift, literally, from the heart. But here's what Paul says. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. I think Paul is lined up with himself here and with the Lord and what I'm going to give you today. But he says this, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. Now, there's an important thing there, but it's not the whole point of this. But prosperity. In other words, has God prospered you? Let me just say, there's not one of us in this room that God has not prospered, if we really get down to brass tacks. Amen? As God has prospered him. That's the law of the New Testament. Not law, necessarily, but it's the essence of what God's saying in the New Testament. Do you believe God has brought you prosperity? Show him. Show him your love. But here's the thing, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Paul says this event, this exercise needs to be planned in advance. And here's the word I want you to write down there with what God is saying. He wants us to have purposed giving. That's his desire. That we are thinking about this, that we are engaged with it, that we are purposed, and that we are focused on his prosperity. We need to have purpose giving in the New Testament church. There are needs to operate it. We cannot deny that. Now, I'm thinking about my dad. And I got to just be open and honest with you. I appreciate the compensation that you give Kim and I. I don't demand it. However, I'm going to lay it right on the line. I couldn't survive without it. I know God would supply those needs, but I would not be able to do the things that I would do here with those freedoms if it were not there. Thank you. I'm thinking about my dad, though, because you know what he used to say in the EUB church, in the United Methodist Church? Some of you have heard this. Those preachers are all a bunch of parasites. Because he knew they weren't performing or doing anything, and yet they were always asking for more. We have to operate this local church if we're going to operate it in a way that God says. And by the way, I don't like to talk about this much either, but it is not wrong for a pastor to be compensated. If they what? If they do the work of the Lord. In fact, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said this, they're worthy of double honor. I'm not worthy, I'm thankful. But the point is, we have to do that. What about missionaries? We'll explore this too as we go through this whole thing. What about heat? You want to pull a Greta Thunberg this morning? Thunberg, I guess it is, actually. You don't pronounce the H in German. You want to shut the heat off? Come in to gather at zero, well, it's about 12 this morning. Well, of course not. This is our gathering place here. The building must be heated. There are costs that are involved to operate Fruitland Baptist Church. And that is a priority, but we'll discuss that further. But the church is the basis for our giving in most cases. And we'll illustrate that further down the line. We probably won't get there today. So purpose giving. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. And I'm in Matthew 5. Now I'm in 6. 19 through 21. Jesus teaching here, he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, and here's the key to this whole passage, there will your heart be also. Jesus says, examine what's going on in your life, in your sphere of influence. He says, if you're into your stuff, if you're into the treasures of this world, you're misdirected in this. And let me just assure you today, Bill, I'll pick on you a little bit now this morning. What if one of the Mopars, what do they require maintenance, Bill, even when you don't use them? And I'm not picking on you, Bill, because we all understand. But if you have something you possess in this world, you got to take care of it. You know, as I age, I'm becoming to see that it's time for me to unload some of the stuff that's here on this earth. And place those. Go ahead, Mrs. Brown. You know, Kim has often said, the day after I'm gone, the steel mill will be busy. Woody, are you going to do anything to intervene? If no. I don't blame you. I wouldn't go up against Kim either. No. But can we admit today, we've all got some problems with those areas. Maybe not all of us, but we tend toward that, don't we? Jesus just says, you better check your heart. This all came from me. Who are you to hold it? Give it back. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 12. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 12. 8 and 9 are good chapters in 2 Corinthians. Well, they're all good. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 12. Talk a lot about giving. There are a couple of the proof text chapters about that. But there's some principles that the Bible gives. No, the Lord doesn't crank on us. The Holy Spirit may, though, when we see these type of things, and may cause us to think. But God opens our eyes if we're willing to let Him. For this I say, Paul writes, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. How many of you have ever sowed a crop? Al, how'd you put the oats in? Drill or an end gate seeder? Yeah, I still like the end gate seeder. My boys went off and they've troubled me. They've gone modern on me. If you see me out in the spring, I've got an old McCormick wagon with McCormick end gate seeder. 40-foot spread. Woodrow, you've been around it before, I think years ago. Yeah. Some of you will think I've gone crazy. Well, most of you already think that anyway. Let me just say this. I've always been a believer. Al, about how many bushel oats an acre do you sow? You remember that? Well, I'm a little more scotch. I sow two. But I've known people that only put a bushel on. That's pretty short. Well, I had a setting on my end gate seeder I never touched. And I hand mixed it. I made clover, alfalfa. I never used Timothy, but orchard grass and why am I having a block here this morning? One other grass, help me. Brome, sure, yeah. And I just kind of hand mixed it. But here's a principle, folks: put it on heavier than what you think it needs to be. Because if you don't, you're not going to what? That's right. Do you get the principle Jesus is talking about here? Now, we don't give to get back, because if we did, our heart wouldn't be right, right? So in other words, if we're saying, well, Lord, I'll give everything to you, if, but I'm going to be expecting what? You do that, you violated what his intents were. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. He's looking at your heart motives. And just incidentally, in many cases, he does exactly what he says there. He gives us back more than what we could ever want, understand, or comprehend. You know, I always found that interesting. Something else for any of you that have sowed oats or sowed small seeds. What else is in that field the day you're sowing? Well, the weeds, hopefully you got them disked out, but birds. Kim, you've seen it. Just like the parable of the sower and the soil. These things work against us, folks. Things work against us enough. We better be on the Lord's side with our heart. Number 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. I told you on the farm I had brackets around it every year. I still, when I look back, I started to farm in 75. I still don't know how we made it. Kim? Kim's got it right. But we did. God's grace. How far was I going on this? Through 12, right? And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Kim took our grandchildren over to Nichting's Friday for their open house. They built a brand new dealership over at West Liberty. Things have changed, haven't they, Kim? Kim took Isaac, or Gabe and Micah and Levi over there. And old Micah, he's four, you know, and he's like, looks just like his dad. He's over there telling the salesman there at this $400,000 tractor in their showroom there, my dad come by this. But you know what? We never had, I had new tractors when my dad was still running the operation, but from that point, I could never afford a new tractor again. But you know what? God made his grace abound toward it. We got along with the old stuff, and we're still going. And a lot of people that had the flash, they're gone. God gives us what we need in his time and in his way and in our pattern where he knows we need it. And I can be just as happy working on one of the old tractors as I could a new one. And probably more happy, actually. Because most people are in debt. Praise God, though, we're not in debt to anyone except Jesus. And yet he says to what? It's paid. I love you. Take it. As is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God for the administration of this service, not only supplieth, and here's important, the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. You see, we need to be thanking God for all the necessities that he gives us, but let's all admit it here in this room this morning, he's given us so much more. He'll supply all our needs through his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Stop worrying. Start following the Lord. He's got it handled. It's all handled, folks. Never forget, though, Jesus gave it all. And as I mentioned earlier, the Macedonians were recorded. That's part of Greece. Paul said they gave in their poverty, and God took care of them. That's the God that we serve. One more point. We're down to 4 minutes. I know you'd give me a few extra if we needed it. And this comes back to the text that Doug read to you this morning. Number three. And by the way, I'm only giving you a few things to think about. The Bible's got plenty more. Number three, God is impacted by our giving or lack of giving, and so will we be. God doesn't need our money, but God is impacted because he sees what goes on. Talk to me in Israel. By the way, that selection in Malachi or Malachi, if you're Italian, talk to me about it. Any of you ever had problems in your marriages or in your lives and different things? God had trouble with Israel, his wife. I've told you the story many times about Kim and I, probably 40, I'm thinking about 44 years ago now, maybe this time of the year. You get married in August, by December or January. You remember, Kim, we had a little tiff. And please forgive me, Kim. I even had a harsh word this week to Kim, and I told her before we went to bed, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I love you, beautiful. We had a spat at the door and we left, or were prepared to leave fighting. Yes, there could have been times Kim and I could have been split asunder. And let me tell you this, there still could be. Don't take anything for granted. But what I was led to do that day at the door, the old green door there at the house, I said, you know what, one of these days, Kim, and we pray about this, you know, as you get older, you begin to think about these things. How will we go? How will we cross the Jordan River? Will it be in the rapture together? Will it be by other ways? You've all thought about that too. But here's what I said to Kim. Do you remember it? I've used this illustration before. I said, Kim, one of these days, sometime, one of us won't come back through these doors. We're not going to keep fighting. Now, before I go into the text, just remember, for 400 years, God didn't speak to Israel. He was upset. Lonnie used the term torqued this morning in Sundays, didn't it?
Yeah.
Ticked. Okay. He didn't speak for 400 years, but how did he come back to Israel? He came back to them and said, I love you, and you can be forgiven in my son Jesus. I'm coming to rescue you. The point that we're making here is God doesn't need our money, but what we do with it affects him. Because God has a tender heart toward us. He didn't want to be angry with Israel. He wanted to have a good time with Israel. Malachi 3, 6 through 18, and we're going to be done. If I can get it turned here. It's hiding in here somewhere. There it is. Malachi chapter 3, 6 through 18. Is it okay if we come back for one more go around on this? Okay, thank you. Or maybe two, or however it works. That's right. Thank you, Al. I appreciate your endorsement on that. You can read the ensuing context here, but what God's really telling Israel, judgment's coming on you folks if you don't get squared away. He's also promising, though, the kingdom age when Christ returns and sets the whole thing straight. But he says, you better listen up here. We better be listening today. And I'll just start at verse 6. He says, for I am the Lord. And here's a good proof text about God. I change not. Now, maybe the first thing that comes to our mind there is God's judgment. Yeah, that's not going to change either. But what about God's benevolence and his love? He has not changed. He wants to be in a sweet walk with us just like he did Israel. That's offered through his son Jesus. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, I'm sure a lot of people would have called him sons of something else.
I got
three
things to come
to mind. Go ahead. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. He says, you know what? My grace is still prevailing here. It's still prevailing to us today. Even as we've been saved, God still puts up with us. He sees Jesus' blood. That's why it covers our sin. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. And this is the message of the whole Bible. Come back. Reconciliation. And I will quit at quarter till, no matter what, so don't get shook. Return to me, and I will what? I'll return to you. We can have fellowship, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Don't you hate a smart-mouthed kid or a wife or a husband? Well, what have we done? Right? And God lays it out real plain here. He says, you ripped me off. You've robbed me. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, well, where have we robbed you? And what's he say? In tithes and offerings. See, the outpouring of our heart is shown in tithes and offerings. And Israel, their heart was as hard as a rock, and it was separated from God. And notice what he says in 9. You are what? You're cursed with a curse. It wasn't just that Israel didn't give, it was that their heart was out of the mode that led to the act of giving back to him. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. You know, I still will say Israel and America have many similarities. And it boils down to the personal thing as well. So what's he say? He says, get your hearts right. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And Denny, prove. In the King James it says, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there may be, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer. He's talking here about the enemy of the crops. You know, that's another sign of an apostate nation. The yields aren't there. There's starvation in a land that could be plenty. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Let me just say this, folks, as I close. The heart motive that we have in giving to the Lord will be illustrated in the drought that we may have in our spiritual walk, and it may be even come down to the physical sense that you're in. Now, am I one of these persons that says, send in so many dollars, the prosperity gospel, and God will give it back? No, I have no authority to say that, but I just know this, God will never leave you nor forsake you. You don't have to be afraid to give it to Him. He says just the opposite. Test me. Give it a try. Take that step. Give to me what is mine. With a right heart, and watch the windows open up and the blessings pour out of heaven. By the way, they're not always monetary or material blessings that pour out of heaven either. Any of you ever sit and say, how blessed am I? Many times I've sat in some of my material things that are rusted out and junk. That's not my wife. I've been blessed. Have you? Isn't God good? We'll look at the rest of this next time, Lord willing. But the fact of the matter is, I just leave us with this thought. If we all get our act together before God, there ain't no stopping us. Good things are ahead. God is good all the time. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand. 579. Maybe today there's one or more here in this group. And as I tell you every Sunday, I'm here because I need to be. No, not because I'm the one responsible to speak. Because I need to be up here dealing with God. How many of you today truly can say, and you don't have to answer me, but answer God, do you really believe God will take care of you, or do you think it's partly your doing? Maybe today, even when it comes to an issue in your life, maybe there's someone here today that has really never placed their sins on Jesus. You know, he says, cast your cares on me. I care. You think he lied? Today's a day, again, to examine these things and draw close to the Lord so we can walk out every day freely and say, God's been good to me. I love him. Maybe someone's missing that today in their life. Today's the day it can be found. And you can walk out of this building with a spring in your step and joy in your heart. He's waiting for us today. Here we go. Not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Neath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. O'er all the way, take care of you. God will take care of you. Enough said. He's available today. Dean Naylor, take us home with prayer. Thank you.
angel.